Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let me go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in the great one, Aditi Kinkabwala from the NFL Network at A. Kinkabwala on Twitter.
Aditi, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
I want to ask something because of all the conjecture, the speculation about Odell. Seems like the floodgates have opened over the last week about whether or not he's happy here. I want to go back to when the Browns signed him. Were your thoughts that the Browns could handle Odell Beckham in this situation, or were you worried at the get-go when they traded for him?
Oh, I feel like we had that conversation, didn't we, that I was significantly worried about. I mean, I know that I've said this on the record, on our air, on your air, multiple times, that the biggest challenge for Baker Mayfield this year would be managing all of these egos, managing the biggest challenge for Freddie Kitchens would be managing all these different personalities. And we know that Odell wasn't thrilled in the beginning. I mean, remember, he wouldn't talk to anyone for a few days. He's very close to the NFL Network, Kim Jones, and Kim was sort of the only one who was talking to him and said that he was shocked. And he was off in Europe. And remember, there was a lot of that, what's going on. And look, if Odell Beckham Jr. wanted to put all of this to rest right now, he wouldn't have said what he said on Thursday. He would have been more definitive as opposed to being so vague. And when Mary Kay Cabot writes a story that says it, you know, his camp or that those quarters feels that perhaps this offense is dysfunctional, he could have put that to rest, did not. When Jay Glazer comes out and says this, that could be put to rest. It's not being put to rest. I mean, you could argue it both ways, right, guys? You could sit here and say, all right, well, we're not going to even honor something that we think is silly. We're not even going to address something that we think is silly. You could say that. Or you could say, you know what, this is a sideline and this is a distraction, and so I'm just going to put it to rest right now.
So, Aditi, if you were to characterize who's responsible for the issues, do you put it on Odell? Do you put it on Baker? Do you put it on Freddie Kitchens?
So I mean, is blame ever really solely on one person alone?
No.
I mean, Ken, when you fight with your wife, it's not always only your fault, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, maybe. But that was a bad analogy right
there.
Yeah,
it was.
But in general, I think that blame, credit, whatever you want to call it, goes around here. This is not just on... This is not just a one sole singular situation.
I totally agree. Because I could look at John Dorsey and go, well, you put the head coach in that situation. I could say that, Freddie, you put too much trust into a young quarterback who you look around the league, these other guys are being handled with white gloves. And Baker,
right.
It's like, here you go. You have the entire offense. There you go. Oh, and we're going to throw OBJ into the mix here. So, and then with Baker, it's, were you doing what you were supposed to do during the offseason? He said he wasn't. So there's, I have a trifecta right there of blame that I can put on all three of the most important pieces on this football team.
That's very fair. And, you know, it's interesting that you talk about the power that a quarterback, that a young quarterback is given. And it's sort of with power comes responsibility, with status. I heard Baker used the word maturity this week when he in the aftermath of the game, and it takes some time to get that no matter how you come in. And I had this conversation actually yesterday with somebody, and I know that your listeners hate when I bring up Pittsburgh, but I'll use it as an example. When Ben Roethlisberger was a rookie, he wasn't the leader of the team. He wasn't running the show. He didn't have outsized power to do things. There were a lot of veterans on that team that were kind of, quite frankly, putting him in his place. And this Browns team doesn't have a lot of those veterans. It's taken a lot of time for that leadership to sort of show itself, or it's kind of in its burgeoning phases right now. And again, it's a lot to put on a second-year quarterback to say, okay, you're figuring things out. You're expected to make a massive leap. You have a first-year head coach. And you also have to ride herd over everybody?
Aditi from the NFL Network. I don't even try to pronounce your last name anymore. People yell at me every time I
do. Kebwalla. It's not that hard.
You say that.
Yeah, but can I just be like Madonna? I mean, like, why can't I just be a one-name person?
I think it improves your status personally.
You know, when a person says something and then there's dead silence, is that because you're taking it in, or
yes,
is that because it just sort of fell on deaf ears? Like, honestly, oh, that was a dumb point.
I'm just going to, no, two things. One, we're taking in, and two, we were arguing who's going to ask the next question.
We're both fighting each other to see who could get out. So I'm going to do it right now.
Go ahead.
Do you think the fact that the Browns have won four of their last five, is that because they're getting better and Freddie's getting better, or is it just the schedule?
No, I do think that, look, it's hard to win in the NFL, period. I don't care who you're playing or who you're playing against or whatever. It's hard to win, and I do think that this is the evolution. I mean, in the beginning of the season, remember, I kept saying, give it time, give it time. They need to get acclimated. And this is another thing, too. You know, like, we keep – it's been a story, a narrative that Baker's accuracy is so bad this year. Are we sure that – all his receivers have been running the exact right, showing up where they need to be, when they need to be. I mean, this is an offense that didn't have a ton of work together in the spring or even during training camp. So I think this is sort of the natural evolution of starting to play better with each other. And it's also that leadership thing that I was talking about. I mean, I don't know that Joe Schobert or Sheldon Richardson or Jarvis Landry were necessarily the same leaders week one that they could be right now. That's all part of the process.
Well, has Baker been humbled by this experience?
I can't answer that. I'm not around him enough. I'll say that I saw him in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh game, and I don't know him well enough. I'm not going to answer.
Should he have been humbled by this experience?
He would think. Or if not humbled, then I mean that sort of implies that there was a humbling necessary, but we all hope to grow. No matter how old you are, you hope that every year you grow to some degree. So if you're a young guy and you've gone through an experience that's unlike anything that you've necessarily gone through, with these exceedingly high expectations and missing them and all this ancillary drama and perhaps saying things that you shouldn't be saying and putting, you know, people in a bad light who may or may not deserve to be in a bad light, you hope that you grow from that in some way. So whether that's a humbling or not, whether that's the right word for it, the right descriptor, I don't know, but you would hope that, you know, Baker's a different leader today than he was yesterday, than he was 3 weeks ago.
Aditi, the story making the rounds about what's going on in New England and the filming of a sideline at the Browns-Bengals game is just one that is bizarre, but I guess it's not if you consider the source with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. What kind of hammer should come down from the NFL on something like this?
Well, didn't they say that they absolutely have nothing to do with this, that this is a production crew, this is a film crew, it's
okay.
A TV crew?
Yeah, sure.
And you don't buy that?
No, nope. not a chance.
I mean, you don't get much benefit of the doubt when you have the history that you have,
exactly.
That's for sure.
Exactly. I don't think I believe any team, but I certainly don't believe the Patriots.
You know, I think what's more interesting here is this really totally the end of the dynasty? I mean, is this the end of Tom Brady?
I know everybody wants to say, wants to be the first to say no because they prove everybody wrong in the end, but it's looking closer and closer.
I mean, they did lose 2 of 4 last year in December, mm-hmm. and that's something that they never do, right? I remember Devin McCourty telling me that the Patriots don't lose in December. They lost 2 of 4, I believe it was, and then, look, they went on anyway. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's very, very hard.
I just wonder if the NFL needs to take this seriously, because it seems like, yeah, they fined Bill Belichick before $500,000. They fined the team that took away
draft
picks.
Oh, I'm sure they will take it seriously. I don't think that this is anything that's being dismissed at all. I mean, you're talking about the integrity of the game here.
How seriously should we take the Arizona Cardinals?
Duck Hodges just went out. Duck Hodges, undrafted free agent,
yeah, we know.
Unsigned.
We
Duck
know the
Hodges.
Story. Yeah, we know the story.
Went out to Arizona and won. Now, the Steelers' defense, I will say this, is playing phenomenally well. Do you think the Browns' defense is playing that well right now?
Not particularly.
But the Browns' offense sure as heck has way more firepower than the Steelers' offense does. I mean, are the Browns traveling well? Do you feel that the Browns travel well? Do the Browns go west well? It sounded like an angry Baker.
No.
You don't think they do? Well,
no.
You know, in the aftermath of this Bengals game, Baker certainly sounded angry. I saw him saying that we shouldn't be 4-1, we should be 5-0 on this streak. And, you know, they certainly do feel that they're playing well and they have something to prove. And whether they're, even if the playoffs are unattainable, there's some value in ending the season on a strong, high note and carrying that into next year. I think every game is, I don't think that anything is a sure win, not with all the nonsense that seems to be surrounding the Browns right now.
Well, they're going to look
but
to...
But you would like to like their chances.
They're going to try to win 5 of 6, and then they'd have that Baltimore game, which would be a biggie at the stadium, because if the fans... after another win, it didn't seem like everybody was all that thrilled. Baker did not play well, and they got outgained by 150 yards. But they didn't get the win. That's what counts. Thank you, Aditi.
Well, isn't that ultimately what matters? I mean, at the end of the day, who cares how ugly it is?
We're going to keep it going.
W is a W.
That's right.
Aditi, we thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great Tuesday.
You too. Aditi Kinkabala, NFL Network, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.